The views, information, and opinions expressed during the Aces Up the Sleeve podcast are solely those of the individual guests or hosts and do not necessarily represent those of Pocket Aces Racing LLC or Lilium Garland Media nor any other mentioned parties. Opinions expressed are not necessarily endorsed by the hosts, Pocket Aces Racing LLC, or Lilium Garland Media. The Aces Up the Sleeve podcast is provided for private entertainment purposes only. Aces Up the Sleeve assumes no responsibility or liability for any errors or omissions in the content of the episode. While we do our due diligence to the best of our abilities, the information contained is provided with no guarantees of completeness, accuracy, usefulness, or timeliness. Any advice or opinions provided by or expressed by our guests are those of said guests and said guest alone.
Hello, everybody. Happy Thursday! You know, which is so weird to say because I had to already restart because I said the intro wrong. So you know where we're at this morning. Welcome back to Aces Up the Sleeve. I am Patty, co-hosting with the co-managing partner of Pocket Aces Racing, or PAR for the quick reference, Jared Shoemaker. And we're going to sit down in this podcast and we are going to talk about drama because that's everyone's favorite topic. Well, no, not really. That's just clickbait. I just wanted people to stick around. But there's no other way to talk about this. This is going to be our, I guess, Triple Crown legitimacy, quote-quote, episode. We didn't really know what else to call this. But before we kind of touch base on that topic, just to run through, you know, in this podcast, we are going to shed light on all things Pocket Aces. We're going to talk about the finer points of syndicate ownership. We're going to discuss what partners and our listeners have asked us to talk about. And we are going to touch base on the news outside the syndicate because a lot's been happening lately. And I think it's worth kind of having a discussion as members of the horse racing community, the horse racing industry. But before we jump into that, before we start going on this episode, how are you, Jared? How is everything? Sorry, everybody, that we're late, but we had some technical bugs to squash, and so we're here recording on a Thursday.
had a couple technical bugs, had a couple scheduling bugs on my end to boot, so, you know, hey, better late than never. Doing great, sitting here with Monty, also known as Boy Dog, sitting on my lap at the desk, and we're just enjoying a lovely Thursday morning. How are you doing today?
It's nice. I'm really enjoying the weather change. I've got a whole bunch of, cause I'm the big flower person in my neighborhood every year. So I've got a bunch of bulbs just sitting around giving me side eye in the bottom of my fridge. Like they're ready to go. They're ready to be planted and I keep not having time. And it's like, and now my dogs are giving me side eye cause it's no longer cold and they want to go outside. So I'm like, okay. I'm kind of seeing the writing on the wall, even if I'm kind of in denial. But I mean, I think I'm just everyone's. Just, I think it's everyone's just ready for it to be warmer and for it to be nice weather. So we've I think got, it's the bottom line. You
know, this is our first spring living in the new house. You know, we had the new house last spring, but we were back and forth between the old house and you know, in Greenup and this house, so we weren't here a whole lot. And we've had blooms since. Last month, the second half of February, we've had crocuses come up. We've got some other kind of bulbs we've got bulbs coming up all over this yard and in the landscaping beds. And I think basically the previous owner, I think she had bulbs for basically all seasons. So we have got flowers everywhere already, and I'm pretty happy about it. But hey, enough about flowers and whatnot. My wife loves to plant and loves to get her hands dirty, and I know you're into flowers as well. So, but let's talk a little bit about some thoroughbred horse racing, some Pocket Aces racing, and Triple Crown, and all the fun stuff.
Yeah. Well, why don't we start then? We'll start with some in-house stuff. So let's just do some updates. Let's just kind of go through and let everybody know how those two-year-olds are doing. I know a couple of them are coming back from breaks, and we've got some folks kind of, I think either they're starting or they're in the middle of them, or some, I know I've read emails about a bunch of growth spurts, so we've had some changes happening to our
Yeah,
horses.
it is that time of year. We got, like you said, we got some coming off their breaks, some going into breaks. So just a real quick update on those guys. We got Honored Promise. She's back from her break. She's jogging and galloping. And has really put on some good muscle, or good put on some good weight in her time off, and got a little rested up. She's growing a little bit. She's filling out, and yeah, she's just going to be spending the next few, basically until around Derby time, just gallop, 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 and building up her foundation, building up her fitness, and then around Derby we'll reassess where she is, figure out if she needs another little break for a bit. And she's one we've always talked about is not one that's going to be real early type, so we would expect her to need potentially need a little break around Derby, and then come back perhaps after the Belmont, something along those lines. We've got then Diamonds for Lil. He is actually still on his break, filling out, doing really well. He probably won't start back up for a couple more weeks. We have started voting on his name, so if any of the partners are in on him and you haven't sent us your vote yet, please do that as soon as possible. If you've not bought into him yet, I'm not sure why, but so you need to do that, and you can get in on the naming process. But he's doing really great, filling out, looking really good. Start back up in a couple weeks. Magic Spell basically jogged all of last week, and we had a whole lot of rain towards the last week and over the weekend and all that. So she just continued to jog, but she may be galloping as of today. So, and we're going to start naming process on her. She's doing great, coming along. The Caracaro by Welcome Aboard. Also kind of the same time frame as Magic Spell. She's just jogged all last week. She could be up, could be jogging today. Haven't heard anything from him this week, so everything's just ticking right along. Also naming her right now, so we're in the first round of voting. Send us your votes if you haven't already, and if you're not in on her, quit waiting around. And we got Sweet Candy Dance. She's jogging and galloping. She's kind of at the same stage where Honored Promises, the dialed in filly, is at the moment. Just gonna jog and gallop, 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 build up her fitness, build up her foundation. We'll reassess where she is around Derby as well. I would be expecting her to continue on, as we think she's going to be a little more early type than the dialed in filly. And then finally, we've got Lisa Jean 22. She is jogging and galloping, and she has not had that scheduled winter break yet because she had the time off right out of the sale. But she's kind of going through a little bit of a little bit of a growth spurt. So, and again, she's another one. We never expected her to be early, so we knew at some point along the way she would need a break, or we thought at some point along the way she'd need a break. It's not that you can't have early Temple Cities. We had one before in Storm Temple Pilot, and she was a little sprinter, but we think this one's a little more of a distance type. So that's where we are with 2-year-olds. We got a number of races today and tomorrow and into next week. First and foremost, we've got Cyclone Ranger going today in race 5 at Gulfstream. I just got word from Mark as we were starting. He sent me a text. They are off the turf today, but he's going to stay in and run on the Tapeta. It actually gives him 70 more yards, which certainly helps. Don't know what the rest of the field looks like in terms of who's staying in, who's getting out. It is a tough, tough little race. But after his time off, we're just looking for a spot to get him going, get him get a little more fitness under him as before he heads back to Kentucky. We've got Double Neat at the fairgrounds in race 9 and a maiden auction. We have word that they are at this moment, they are staying on the turf. So he is going to run. And then we've got Banshee Moon tonight in race 2 at Turfway Park. I'm going to try to get that maiden broke and get her moving forward and ready for the summer. Tomorrow, we've got Microphone at the fairgrounds. They're calling for some rain tomorrow. Hopefully that does not come to pass, as he really needs to run, and we may take a crack at him, crack at the dirt with him, just because he does really need to run. And I hate to, he's sitting on go and sitting on a big race, Ethan feels like, and I'd hate to waste that on the dirt, but he's got to go. So
but
hopefully that
do
rain
they
will hold
have
off.
any main track onlys in that race? Do we know?
I think there's one,
Okay. I mean, then I
but I
mean,
don't recall for sure.
well, then it, I mean, if he's sitting on go, that's like, this might be his chance to really have a confidence booster too.
Yeah, maybe.
Look at
And
it.
You know, if it scratches down to a real small field, and he can he can put together a decent race, maybe it helps him out. So we'll see. But fingers crossed it stays on the turf. But if not, we're more than likely going to run anyway. So that's where, and then we got just Lady Aberdeen got entered late yesterday. She is in next Wednesday on going to try turf sprint 5.5 in a maiden auction at Fairgrounds. So we'll see how that goes. That's I expect she will run whether they are on the turf or on the dirt, because she is certainly plenty capable enough on the dirt. So a lot going on over the next few days.
Busy, busy.
Absolutely.
So are we kind of good then with in-house?
Let's talk triple,
are you ready?
Let's talk Triple Crown.
All
yeah.
Right. So we kind of had, we sat down and I was kind of going through our topic list. And one of the things that kept coming up was obviously, you know, with Triple Crown coverage, I figured, you know, we could do, you know, kind of like a recap on the Triple Crown Trail and where we are. But I think something that's very interesting to me with you know, if some of our listeners maybe aren't as familiar with what's been going on, this year's Triple Crown is going to be a little different. It's going to be very interesting. The Belmont Stakes, because Belmont Park is undergoing pretty massive renovations, the Belmont Stakes is going to be held at Saratoga for at least the next couple years. And then, as I'm sure a lot of people have heard, whether you wanted to or otherwise, Churchill has maintained so far their banning of Bob Baffert from the Kentucky Derby. And a lot of people feel that that is going to be, eliminating some of the, and we can't really argue it because they consistently prove it, but some of the best 3-year-olds on the dirt, 3-year-old dirt horse males in the country. So I thought to myself, with everybody, you know, kind of, some people are up in arms, some people are, it is what it is. So I got to thinking, you know, well, what constitutes a Triple Crown, or what is a real Triple Crown, quote, real Triple Crown winner? So that's, I guess that's what we're going to rehash. We're going to hash out and we're going to discuss today is what, in fact, we believe. Obviously, you can't take us as fact. I really hope you don't take us as fact, because
all our opinions.
Yep, because we have said some crazy nonsensical things on some of these episodes.
I mean, I think that's right. It's just there's a lot of you know, questions around, a lot of debate, a lot of discussion. You know, should someone win the Triple Crown? Should a horse win the Triple Crown this year? Is it legit? And, you know, I might respond, well, we'll get into that in a minute, but just real quick, you know, we did a Kentucky Derby prepped episode a few weeks ago, and went through all the Triple Crown or the Derby prep races. Just give a real quick recap on the Triple Crown, where we stand at the moment, and so forth. So, you know, there's 346 2-year-olds or 3-year-olds nominated for the Triple Crown this year on the first closing on January 29th, Derby May 4th, mile and a quarter on the dirt. It's the 150th running $5 million purse. Preakness, May 18th, mile and 3/16, 149th running, $1.5 million purse, obviously at Pimlico. And then the Belmont Stakes, typically run at Belmont on you know, the massive track that is Belmont Park, the mile and a half track, June 8th, this year at Saratoga, going only a mile and a quarter. And this is the 156th running, and they've upped the purse from $1.5 million to $2 million for the Belmont this year. Real quick recap on the top 20 point standings at the moment. We've got Timberlake, who was the winner of the Champagne and the Rebel. Dornoch, I'm not sure how you say his
name.
He's
Dornoch.
Dornick, winner of the Remsen and the Fountain of Youth, and a slightly watered down Fountain of Youth, to be honest. Sierra Leone, the winner of the Risen Star. We've got Track Phantom, winner of the Gunrunner and the Compt. Deterministic, winner of the Gotham. Fierceness, still hanging on to that sixth spot after winning the BC Juvenile last fall. El Grande, he's placed a few times, got 30 points. Common Defense, then Stronghold, who, the winner of the Sunland Derby. Catching Freedom, the winner of the Smarty Jones. Just a Touch, Mystic Dan won the Southwest. Hades, the winner of the Holy Bull. Uncle Heavy, the winner of the Withers. No More Time, Sam F. Davis, winner. Encino, which won the Battaglia at Turfway. Locked, Breeders' Cup Futurity winner. Liberal Arts, winner of the Street Sense, and McVeigh and Northern Flame. Those are your top 20 point getters on the Kentucky, on the U.S. series of prep races, and your top two in the European races are Bergamasco, Notable Speech, Ramjet, and Forever Young in Japan. So you've got we got one Derby prep this weekend in the $400,000 Tampa Bay Derby. That is run at 8.5 furlongs. And there's 10 entries. I have to feel the morning line is not out yet. Have to feel like No More Time is likely to be the favorite. But I don't know. We'll see. Like I said, I've not looked yet at the PPs, but he's certainly the one that is most accomplished to this point. So we'll know a little bit more, and the winner of that race is going to come out with 50 points, along with 25 points for the place, 15 for the show, and so forth. So that's
Well,
the
and
only
it's the
prep
last
race this
50
week.
paint, it's the last 50 point race too, because
Everything here gets, yep, after this one gets a lot more serious.
Because and it's like for the for the connections that have kind of been winning these earlier spring races, it's a little easier for them because at that point, if you're high enough to the front, even if somebody does win that 100 point race and jumps to the lead, you're pretty well within the field. I think at this point, it's the folks who are kind of almost on the outside looking in that'll probably start panicking a little more.
It's going to get a whole lot tougher for those horses that are in that 13 to 20 spot at the moment. They're going to have to do a lot more to get in, most likely.
Well, and they're going to, if either of the Japanese horses comes over, if anyone from the European trail comes over, I know the Japanese horse has, I think Ramjet has a guaranteed spot or at least enough points to get into the field comfortably. So this is definitely one of those, like, you have actually one or two less spots in terms of like a buffer zone than you actually think you do.
So it's going to be, the winner of this one, especially if it's No More Time, can add. He's already got 20 points, and if he can win this race and add 50 more, he'll be sitting in pretty good shape. Next weekend, March 23rd, we've got two prep races. One being the $700,000 Jeff Ruby at Turfway, 9 furlongs on the Tapeta, and then on also on next Saturday, the $1 million Louisiana Derby, going 9.5 furlongs. 100 points to the winners of both those races, 50 points to the second place for both those races. So you start, and then 30 points for third, 20 points for fourth, and 10 points for fifth. So you start getting into some situations where horses run a couple fifths in these big 100-point races, and you're knocking out horses like Locked and Liberal Arts and McVeigh and Northern Flame if they can't add some more earnings and some more points to their totals.
Which was, I mean, which I think made the scratches in the Fountain of Youth even more not gonna say pressing, but and maybe not even mystifying, but it makes it a it definitely cranks up the pressure, I feel like, on some connections because a lot of those horses were considered to be top contenders for obvious reasons. And it is concerning when you have to scratch when things aren't going, in the right direction for the horse. So I think as we especially when we start getting into Keeneland, because Keeneland April is a month and some change away. It's right around the corner. I think for a lot of folks, the bluegrass is going to be kind of the last chance for a lot of folks, especially with current training, preferred training styles. That's going to be kind of the last warning bell here, I think, for a lot of people.
Oh
So.
yeah, absolutely. And the bluegrass is always one of the last big opportunities. Of course, you still can take a crack at it with the Lexington, especially. It's made that better since they changed the dates at Keeneland. The bluegrass used to be 3 weeks out from the Derby. Now it's four, and the Lexington was 2 weeks out, and now it's three. So you can, if there's a lot of folks that might take a flyer at the Lexington just in hopes of getting a few more points if they're on the if they're kind of near that outside looking in. So and we're going to talk a whole lot more about Keeneland in an upcoming episode as they'll be opening up the first week of April, and there's a whole lot going on at Keeneland with renovations of their own. Some look like they might be for the good. Others, I'm not sold on just yet. But hey, let's talk about Triple Crown winners. For years we didn't have any. We had three in the 1970s, and then did not see another until American Pharoah in what was it, 2015? And then followed immediately by Justify. Both, of course, trained by one Mr. Bob Baffert, who is finds himself on the outside looking in this year. And with his situation and with the dominance that he has had in the Triple Crown over the course of his career and the situation going on at Belmont, there are a lot of folks that are of the mind that, well, if a horse wins all three of these races, they're not really a Triple Crown winner because they didn't go a mile and a half at the Belmont, and they haven't faced the best of the best in Bob Baffert's horses. Well, that's debatable, and there are enough clouds over some of those a couple of those wins that I think you at least have to ask the question. I'm not saying that he was guilty of doping either of those horses. But again, where there's a lot of time, where there's smoke, there's fire, and the Justify ran into there were issues with Justify along the way. Not saying he did it in the Triple Crown races, but there were issues, and so for anybody that's questioning whether or not horses that you win would win this year's Triple Crown isn't a Triple Crown winner because they didn't face Baffert horses, I think you have to. That person also has to ask, well, was there something wrong, or was there an issue with either Justify or American Pharoah? I'm not saying there was, I'm not saying there wasn't, but I think there's enough that has happened over the last little bit, and in particular with Justify, that you have to at least ask that question. Again, no accusations being thrown out, just asking questions and just kind of making a trying to make a the other side of the argument. If you can't say you're a Triple Crown winner because you don't beat Nisos and Muth and Wind Me Up or whoever, then can you also say you're a Triple Crown winner if foul play was involved?
Well, I
I know I
think.
just I know I just made you nervous because I know
Well, I mean, all of this is alleged, and I mean, again, we have no proof. We have there's, it's a lot of this is, speculation. There is no proof. We're not going to sit here and claim that we have it. As fire brandy as Jared is feeling today, we can't. We're not going to sit here and claim that we have all the
Absolutely.
answers,
I
and
don't I'm not saying that. I'm not
so.
at all trying to imply that, yes, those horses, he cheated with
But
those horses. I'm not saying that at
I
all.
think
But
like
you
if
have to
we
ask the question.
but like but if we look even beyond what's been happening it with his with his his horses the last few years, I think what concerns me a little bit here, not and it has not in this situation it has really not so much to do with Baffert himself, but what concerns me here is that at what juncture did the Derby become, well, if so and so isn't here, it's not the Derby. Because then what was
Amen.
the Derby in the, in the 20 years, I think he's had consistent entries in the Derby for like last 20 years or something like that. I don't remember when his first starter got in.
In the 80s.
Okay. So, upper 20s, early 30 years. What was the Derby before him? Like it was still the Derby. People still came, had a good time, saw good horses. They saw, some efforts of a lifetime. I think my concern is when any one trainer, not even again, not even about Bob at this point, but when any one trainer becomes the face of something to the point to where horses who are not in that person's care will run and win are suddenly considered less than because they did not face every single thing thrown to man at them. Like in this situation, let's say if Churchill had not banned him and all of his horses go, not one of them fires because, you know, horses are allowed to have a bad day. They're not machines. We've covered that extensively on this podcast. And let's say not one of them fires for whatever reason. Is the winner still not the Derby winner because none of the Baffert horses that everybody assumed is the greatest thing since the last Baffert horse? Is that still not a Derby winner then? Because nobody fired? Like
what I'm thinking, mind that bird who never won another race.
Yeah.
And won only because it was a crazy situation on a terribly off track. And he got the absolute ride of a lifetime from Calvin Burrell. Did he really win the Derby? And you think about how many times have we woken up on, you know, a couple days or the week of the Derby, one morning the week of the Derby, and even sometimes on Derby Day.
Yeah.
Favorite is just scratched out.
Well,
Favorite's got a fever.
He recently just passed away, but Eskender Rea was that situation. Like, people thought Eskender Rea was going to be the greatest thing since, I mean, they started packaging potato chips, okay? Like, people were so jazzed about this horse. And understandably, he was a very talented individual. And they were jazzed. And what was it? The morning of, they had to scratch him because he had gone lame or something like that. I don't 100% remember the circumstances, but he was the heavy favorite. He was, I mean, the morning of, and they scratched, and he was, and that's it.
And there have been many a morning of,
that
the favorite or second favorite has gone out of the race.
Yeah.
The morning of, no doubt about it.
So that,
I don't think that diminishes the accomplishments of those winners for sure.
Yeah. Well, and I think everybody knows that the Derby is kind of a crapshoot every year just because it's, I mean, I and honestly, it's the only race in this country that has a 20 race field that is that big to that extent that they had to get, finally, we got a customized gate where everybody starts, you know, in a line as opposed to the poor, what, five or six that had that little hanging gate on the end of it?
Mm-hmm.
The auxiliary gate. So it's like, that's just the concern for me is that, like, the Derby is, for me at least, the Derby will always be the Derby, and I think it is so hard to win that race. You get so few shots to win it. It's not like, you know, in theory, let's say the Breeders' Cup Classic, where a bunch of horses who went runner-up the year prior came back and won it a year later or something like that, yada yada, etc., etc., right? Like, This is a once in a lifetime opportunity for a lot of people. You're never going to have the situation, at least in American racing, again, where there's, you know, your horse has to beat a massive field that they're never going to see again, that there's going to be 150,000 people screaming your name. And I think to say that it's not going to be a real winner because someone's horses or ex-horse or somebody else wasn't here, like, I think to me that's unfair because it diminishes the efforts that all of these other connections have invested and put into these horses and the blood, sweat, and tears of all those grooms who woke up at the same time as you know, everybody else does and went to work that morning. So I think it's, for me at least, I believe it's unfair to say that the absence of one trainer is just going to diminish everybody else, because it's just not, like, it isn't fair.
Yeah. And then, you know, and here's the horses that we're talking about, that at least at this point, the horses that would have had points if Churchill was giving points to Baffert horses. Nisos, he's the winner of the Bob Lewis. Muth, winner of the American Pharaoh. Wind Me Up, he was the runner up in the American Pharaoh and third in the BC Juvenile, second in the San Felipe. Prince of Monaco, runner-up in the BC Juvenile. Winstock, winner of the Los Al Futurity. Imagination, winner of the San Felipe. Those are the main horses of Baffert's that would have points at this point. None of them would be at the top of the points list.
Yeah. Well, and
know.
Nisos was scratched out of the San Felipe that ran last weekend. That I think it's Imagination. I think that's what his name is. That
Imagination,
Imagination
yeah.
just won.
Right.
So, and Nisos was just scratched out of that. And in some of his commentary after the race, even about Imagining, when I believe I don't remember who asked him about it, but they had asked Baffert about Nisos, about kind of if everything was okay, and he goes, well, you know what? I just had a feeling that he needs more time. And that's fair. And that's what happens to sometimes to Derby favorites as well. Like, I know some of our listeners who maybe are not as entrenched in the industry outside of Triple Crown season, might not know, but the early favorites early on, sometimes they do hit some, random either physical growth spurts, or they need a mental seasoning, or they need a refreshing, or something happens that the horse is telling the trainer, I need time. And that's what Baffert told essentially is telling us, that Nisos just needed time, and that happens, and
And the pessimist in me, cynic in me says, well, what's he need time from, Bob?
all right.
Did he get something in his system that we needed to make sure we got cleared out? Probably not, because California's not going to test him that hard. But that's beside the point.
You really just want to have a conversation with Bob Baffert's lawyer, don't you?
Now, I've not accused anybody of anything. I'm just
Joking.
asking questions.
Oh, no. I'm joking.
So, the Baffert issue aside, that's just one of the things that has got, casting a cloud, if you will. Personally, I disagree. I don't think it's casting a cloud on anything. As I've heard, as any people have heard me say often enough, you reap what you sow in this, and we've got to, as an industry, take a stand. And I'm more disappointed, quite frankly, that has not been reciprocating agreements in place with other racing jurisdictions, as there typically are in cases like these. He's been suspended by the Kentucky Horse Racing Association and Churchill in particular, and nobody else has followed suit, and
Well, it
that's
this the I
unusual.
think 2024 was not the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission suspension. I think that was just a Churchill ban, wasn't it?
Well, and that's fine too.
Like,
I honestly, I'm not 100% positive, but whatever the case, he
I
raced
know.
all last year when he was under KHRC.
Yeah.
So,
Okay. Well, I'm gonna
anyway.
I'll look through it later. I'll find out.
Yeah. Okay.
But
Okay.
I'm pretty sure 24 is a Churchill ban, though, not the
And
Kentucky
and
horse
that and that
racing.
maybe that sounds right. So,
Yeah. So
so
let's roll
let's talk
into
about Belmont at
Yeah.
Saratoga.
So th I mean,
Oh,
and
Belmont is,
this is a different situation entirely, 'cause this is
yes.
I mean, Belmont, I don't I, you know, Belmont it, its grandstand was massive and it's imposing, and it does strike a very very just imposing picture, but I think a lot of people, from what I'd heard, a lot of people agree that it really needed renovations. And
Oh, I no doubt about it.
I think it was part of the stink as to why the Breeders' Cup did not want to come back, was because like something about their infrastructure was not going to be able to either house or accommodate however many, people or spectators they were expecting, or something happened. And part of the deal here was that they needed to do some big renovations. It had to happen if they wanted a chance to come back into the Breeders' Cup rotation again. So a lot of the renovation, in addition to wanting to have an updated facility and making sure that the Belmont Stakes Festival, which is considered by a lot of people some of the best racing of the entire year, outside of obviously the Breeders' Cup and now the Pegasus, and now I think it's going to be the California Crown now. So, and obviously that's going to bring a lot of really good horses together. So handle is going to be pretty large because people are going to want to wager in on that. But Belmont Stakes Festival is considered some of the best racing in the country. And so, this was one of those situations where it was a long time coming and there was never going to be a good time to do this. There just wasn't. There was never going to be a good time.
But it had to be done, and that's the bottom line. We had the Preakness at Laurel Park not that long ago. I don't at all mind. Things happen, and you have to make a change in venue because these tracks, again, 150 running in the 150th run in the Derby. Church has been around a long time. 149th running of the Preakness. Pimlico has been around a long time. 156th running of Belmont. Belmont's been around a long time. At times, we got to make changes and upgrades,
yep,
and things have to be reworked. So I don't mind a change in venue. I do mind a change in the distance. And yes, I know running a mile and a half on the Saratoga configuration would pose a problem, would pose some difficulty. But you know what? Install a temporary finish line. Change your starting places. Do what you need to do to maintain the integrity of that mile and a half race, because it's important. Mm-hmm. 23 horses have won the Derby and the Preakness, but then not won the Belmont.
Mm-hmm.
Starting back in 1932, Burger King. He didn't win the Belmont because he was lame. Bold Venture didn't win the Belmont because he was hurt. Pensive in 1944 was the first horse to win both the Derby and the Preakness, but then ran second to Bounding Home. He just could not get the mile and a half. Tim Tam won as 1958, carry back in 1961. He ran seventh in the Belmont. Northern Dancer missed the Belmont. Northern Dancer, an amazing racehorse, one of the greatest racehorses in North American history, and just an amazing impact on the breed, mm-hmm, as a stallion. Couldn't win the Belmont because of the mile and a half. Qual King, Ford Pass. Was another one, Majestic Prince in 1969, Canonero the second, and then Spectacular Bid, and another amazing, amazing, incredible racehorse. Pleasant Colony, Ali Sheba finished fourth in the Belmont.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday Silence finished second in the Belmont, 8 lengths behind Easy Goer. Easy freaking Goer, are you kidding me?
Well, and for those who don't know, Sunday Silence is the grandfather of thoroughbred racing at this point in Japan. So like
he is the foundation sire in Japan, yep, absolutely. Silver Charm was second in the Belmont behind Touch Gold. Real Quiet in one of the most exciting Belmont you'll ever see run. Real Quiet loss to Victory Gallop in the smallest of noses. Yep. And those two had bang back and forth through the previous two Triple Crown races. It was just I love that race. Charismatic finished third. War Emblem. Now he took a stumble, but out of the gate, but he finished eighth. And Sarava, who nobody's heard from, nobody heard of before, and nobody's heard from since, quite frankly. But a mile and a half does funny things. Funny Side was third in the Belmont. Smarty Jones, second in the Belmont, behind Birdstone. Big Brown pulled up in the home stretch.
Yep.
I'll Have Another got scratched because of a tendon issue on race day.
Yep.
And then California Chrome finished fourth in the Belmont. So 23 times horses have gone into, well, I guess 20 times total that they've actually raced. 20 times total a horse has gone into Belmont Day with a chance to win the Triple Crown. And 20 times the mile and a half has been the difference maker.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that's the biggest asterisk if a horse should happen to win this year's Triple Crown. It's not an issue of whether or not Bob Baffert's horses are in the race. It's the fact that the Belmont is being run at a mile and a quarter. It's not the Test of Champions anymore. It's another mile and a quarter race, which obviously is there's not a whole lot of horses that want to get a mile and a quarter. We see that in the Derby every year. But, it's just, to me, it's problematic. So,
well, and I guess to kind of play devil's advocate here, I kind of understand why they felt they had to shorten it. Like, I feel like just saying, figure out a new configuration is easier said than done.
Yeah, I agree. But when you're
But
talking about the third leg of the Triple
I
Crown,
know,
you do it.
I agree. But in this situation, it's like you want to have your cake and you want to eat it too, and we both know that that very rarely happens. But I think for me, it's at the end of the day, it's going to be a long series, no matter what. I personally, I'm just one of those folks where I, and in this sense, I am the pessimist here. I don't think we're gonna have any kind of Triple Crown contender either this year. I don't think we're gonna have it next year either, just because I, and this kind of stems back to my disliking of how kind of the breed is currently going. A lot of our industry at this point is just very commercial. Like the commercial part of the industry controls and pushes along everything. And I think people at this juncture are more concerned with breeding something that brings six, seven figures at a sale than they are concerned long term as to that horse's prospects as it gets older, as it starts to do other things, as a racehorse for some operations. I just don't, I think it's just become so commercial to me that, and it's funny because I feel like every district has every like breeding country, racing country has the kind of like the same concerns where everybody says the same thing. Oh, we're hemorrhaging talent to other countries. And then it's like, and I guess the hemorrhaging is going in every direction because it's like, Japan comes in and they pick up some of the best mares that we have. All these distance horses, the stallions that are not commercial here, they're not fashionable here. And then you get these Japanese horses that can run at speeds. I mean, insane. Like we saw it in the Derby, they were putting up fractions that are just absolutely insane. Did some of them fade? Absolutely. But the fact that, they flew 15, 16 hours and still put up those kinds of efforts and then finished like 5th, 8th, and 13th or something, that's incredible. Because, we have horses that never leave Churchill, that when they put up those kinds of numbers, they're 45 lengths behind the next to last loser. And it's, so for me, my only running concern is that we're going to kind of figure out this year, next year, especially, that the commercial industry has kind of made it that we're not going to have a Triple Crown with her because the horses are just going to take turns beating each other. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I am not optimistic that we're going to have a horse, regardless of who is training it. I just don't think we're going to have a horse that's dominant enough to do it. I just don't. Like, I know they came in threes because they did that. I think they did it in the 70s. They came in threes, the Triple Crown winners, and then we had that big dry spell. I don't see it happening. I just don't.
Yeah, people definitely said we'd never see another one, several years before American Pharoah, and then you
Yeah.
get a couple, what, two of them in
Oh,
30 years, whatever it
I
was.
don't think we'll never
So,
see another one. I just don't think we're gonna see one in the next couple, 3, 4 years. I
yeah,
just don't. So.
and it's the statistics and history would certainly back up what you're saying there, no doubt about it, no doubt.
But either way, I
But
mean,
if we do get one over the next 2 or 3 years, however long
yeah.
the Belmont ends up being run at Saratoga, then it's just you got to put an asterisk by it, in my opinion. And yes, I know when you go back and you look at Triple Crown races over the history of the sport, obviously in 140 some odd times, things have not they've run at different tracks. There have been some different distances at times. But for the most part, it's been pretty well intact.
Well, I think not to kind of like poo-poo on your concern here, Jared, but like I think right now I think a lot of people are putting the cart before the horse. Like if we do, start seeing a potential Triple Crown winning, candidate start to arise, then yeah, that's when I feel like I feel when a lot of people would be justified in panicking and saying, oh my God, like, Is it like, how do we grade this? Is it considered the Triple Crown because it won at the same distance? And it's, I'm one of those people who thinks that like traditions preserve because the people celebrating them are flexible. And I think at the end of the day that as long as the Belmont Stakes is celebrated in New York, where it should stay, because somebody once asked, well, why don't we move it to somewhere like California where they can absolutely like accommodate it? And I'm like, you
Definitely
want New Yorkers to kill you. Like, don't say
not.
that out loud. But, you know, so I'm somebody who believes that, you know, traditions persevere because the people celebrating them are flexible, and that as long as the Belmont Stakes is celebrated for the champion-making race that it is, I think that we'll be able to survive these next couple of years of Belmont at Saratoga. And I think that when racing finally returns to Belmont Park, it's going to be, you know, sure, it's going to be a very exciting moment. It's going to be, you know, there's going to be a new grandstand to look at. There's going to be I think they're also putting in a tunnel to reach the infield or something like that. I don't 100% remember like the specifics of it, but Belmont Park is going to look very different.
And they're putting in a hockey arena.
Yeah, I saw that too. Well, and what's well, I mean, it's like when you have that much space, you may as well. I mean, it's like I get people's concerns with that, but it's like at the end of the day, money makes the world go round. And as much as we want to deny it and pretend it's not the case, it is. But at the end of the day, I think as long as Belmont Park comes out on the better end of this, I'm a hockey fan, so I don't actually have a huge issue with that in all honesty. But I mean, it's a massive renovation. Like it's I don't know if you guys have seen the plans that the governor revealed and kind of like the artists like generated kind of like a rough, not like a rough sketch, but like an
The
estimated,
rendering.
yeah, of what it's gonna look like. And honestly, like I think it looks really nice. Like I understand wanting to keep parts of history, but like when history is putting people in danger, like But I mean, anyway. But if you want to see that rendering, we'll make sure to link it into the description of this podcast, so you'll be able to see it online. Also, I'll also try to link it on the bottom of the social medias once I post it on all of our social media, so you can go take a look at it yourself. It's actually it's a very I think very pretty rendering, but it looks very modern. So it's going to be I think hit or miss for a lot of people, but at the end of the day, I think if it puts it if it sets up Belmont Park to be able to host these big traveling series like the Breeders' Cup again, you know, I'm all for it. I really don't like the fact that Breeders' Cup has basically been either in Kentucky or California for the last, what, 10 years or something like that? Like
Several
it's,
years.
yeah, like
I
it's been
think
a long
it's
time.
I think it's going to be that way for the foreseeable future.
Oh, probably. Like, I mean, Belmont's not going to be done until what, 20, they said 26 or 27 or something
26, I
like
think.
that?
26, I believe.
Yeah. So,
And
but,
that's supposed to, I think the my understanding is, I think what I read was that they hope to be able to host the Belmont in 2026,
okay.
but they'd be finishing early in 2026 is the goal.
Okay.
But hey, the weather gets pretty nasty up there in New York, so it
Yeah.
could be, that could cause them, obviously could cause them some issues, but we'll see.
Well, I mean, so then for the foreseeable future, I mean, for the
Next 2 years at
foreseeable,
least.
yeah. So the foreseeable the foresee for so for the foreseeable future, the Belmont is going to be a Saratoga fixture, and it's just I think at this point it would probably be better suited to just embrace it and celebrate it because I mean it's not gonna change. But I mean, because when it returns back to Belmont, it'll return to its original configuration. And I don't think, you know, the New York Racing Association is under any delusions as to how people are gonna feel if they permanently change that race distance. But from what I've heard, Belmont at Saratoga is already a sold out event. And hotel prices are through the roof. So they're
Yep.
expecting a crowd. It's going to be.
I imagine it will be quite the party as it normally is up there, and I think I do think distance aside, I'm pretty excited to see what they've got to offer.
Yeah. I'm interested in like considering usually that Belmont Stakes goes at prime time. And Saratoga does not have, I mean, do they have a finish line camera system, or do they still not have one? Because that was an issue several years ago where somebody pointed out that like Saratoga still doesn't have a finish line camera. Like, do we know if that's a
I
thing?
don't know. I don't know.
We'll have to find out, because I'm like, because that's my concern, because like sometimes these Belmont Stakes get close. I mean, a lot of these races do, but sometimes the Belmont historically just has had some pretty close finishes. So I'm like, I will be very interested to see how they navigate that one if they still haven't remedied that. That's very interesting to me. I'll have to figure it out later.
It's gonna be interesting. And so I think that's about it. We'll let everybody hash it out on their own, what they think about all this stuff. I will say, speaking of renovations and other spring events, we are going to talk about the renovations going on at Keeneland. I saw a picture of the current state of the grounds yesterday, and it's kind of sad. Makes me a little weepy, a little teary-eyed, but it is what it is. And we'll talk a little bit about motivations. We'd love to get somebody on from Keeneland to talk about it. We'll talk about the expressed motivations of this change, as well as again, my cynical self on the driving factor behind it. I guess they're not hiding it too much, but we'll get into that in an upcoming episode, and we'll continue to talk Triple Crown going forward until June 8th. And glad you guys could join us once again.
Yeah. And hopefully there'll be less contentious episodes, but I think it's good that people have so many opinions on it, because it means people still care. You know,
People are
like,
still, that's right. People are still watching. They
yeah.
still care.
Yeah.
And that is the key. And we need more people with eyes on the industry going forward, for
Yep.
sure.
Yep.
With positive eyes as fans, not as people looking to take us down.
Oh, there you go. So we're going to, I think that's going to be it then. We're just gonna, this is going to be our wrap on the Triple Crown quote legitimacy debate. Thanks everybody for tuning in this week. Make sure that you are subscribed to any of our social media channels. We're on everything. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as Pocket Aces Racing. We also have a YouTube channel under the same name, Pocket Aces Racing. Make sure you hit the bell, make sure you're subscribed to get those notifications. And as I tell everybody on a Wednesday, I'll tell you on a Thursday. Have a happy Thursday. Make good choices. And the podcast is over.